Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Crosstown Series on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Network. Today, we have one of the biggest rivalries in the country, the Backyard Bowl in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Jenks High School and Union High School have been playing this game since 1977. Since 1996, each team has won the 6A State Championship, which is Oklahoma's largest division. That's 21 state championships between the two teams. Jenks has 13 and Union has 8. In the series, Union has 21 wins and Jenks has 33, including the playoffs, 10 of which have decided the state championship. In that regard, Jenks is 6-4 in the state championship game. The game is annually played at University of Tulsa's Skelly Field at H.A. Chapman Stadium. Jenks will have a new head coach and longtime assistant Keith Riggs, since former head coach Alan Trimble is battling with ALS. Trimble had been the coach since 1995 and was diagnosed in 2016 with ALS. Trimble also is a Hall of Fame coach. He was inducted in 2018 into the Oklahoma Sports Hall of Fame. Union had a fundraiser for Trimble this week. The rivalry was featured on the NFL Network's Greatest Rivalries in 2010. Let's kick things off by hearing from the head football coach, first-year head coach at Jenks High School, longtime assistant Keith Riggs. Joining me on the podcast now is the head football coach, first-year head football coach at Jenks High School, Coach Keith Riggs. Keith, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate you having me on.
Coach, this is an incredible game, an incredible series. It is played on the biggest of stages with, you know, up to 40,000 people in attendance for this high school football game. And over the years, you guys just really slug it out back and forth. And most of the time, you guys end up seeing each other in postseason as well. So first of all, you know, now being in the head coaching role, what does it mean to you to be a part of this game as the head coach?
Well, it's really hard to verbalize, I guess, since I haven't been through it as a head coach. I know the series, just being an assistant and a coordinator, it's an awesome thing to be a part of. Play a team of caliber of Union year in, year out. And early in the season, I mean, they're going to expose your weaknesses. It's a great opportunity to see where you're at as a team and for both of us and what you need to work on moving forward. Like you said, there's a really good chance we're going to see them down the road. What do we need to prepare for the next time around?
With this game being so early in the season, how do you view the game? And I guess, what do you want to translate to your players with this opportunity as well?
You know, ultimately, football is about, you know, in large part, going out and competing against your opponent. It's a great barometer for us of where we're at as a team. Being early in the season, it gives you plenty of time to make adjustments down the road as you work through the rest of the season. And I think it's important, you know, it's a big, big rivalry for our coaches, for our players, for our fans. You also have to keep it in perspective that it is just week two. A lot more football to play. Kind of, you know, you don't really have to get the kids up for the game. I mean, they're looking forward to it on their own. You do have to kind of keep it in perspective. It is just one game. Certainly you want to win it. If you want to beat your crosstown rival. But more than anything, it gives us a chance to evaluate our team and see where we're at.
And it's easy for us as coaches to take that point of view that this is just one game. But for your kids, I'm sure it's special. You guys play every year at Chapman Stadium on the University of Tulsa campus. You're going to get that stadium rocking. You're going to fill it up, you know, up to 40,000 people there. How do you make sure that you keep it in that kind of perspective with all the pageantry that is involved in this game?
Well, I think it's where you direct the kids' focus. You know, everybody around them is going to be talking about the game, how big of a game it is. Are you going to win this year? As coaches, our challenge, whether we're successful or not year to year, is just to focus on the things that really matter for the game. and try as best we can to tune out all the outside noise and excitement about the game. That's a very difficult thing to do for teenagers, certainly. But ultimately, all that emotion and excitement, you know, once you get into the heat of the game, that goes away and your preparation really takes over.
Coach, I'm sure there's that balance, too, of wanting your players to soak in this opportunity, to soak in this experience. And part of that is, you know, all the things that are going to happen during the course of the week in the community, in the school. What are some of those things that your players, I guess, are taking part in, maybe even you taking part in as the head coach?
Well, certainly the media attention increases that week, both for the kids and the coaches. Pep assemblies involved, all sorts of school spirit activities that week. Just a lot of additional things that you don't normally see from week to week. Potentially when you get into the playoffs, you do. So it's a challenge for the coaches and the players to keep those things in perspective, remember what we're really trying to go out and do.
Coach, when you look at preparing your staff for this, you need those guys, obviously, to communicate that message as well to your kids. And probably, I think, as coaches, one of the things we have to avoid is maybe trying to do something above and beyond or something that maybe gets outside the parameters of what we're capable of to, I guess, make special plays. How do you make sure that your coaching staff keeps their focus in the right place as well?
Well, if you figure that out, let me know. That's a tough one because, you know, we're, as coaches, we're also competitive. You know, we want to win every game. When you play a team like Union that has so much talent and has so much success, it's very easy to fall into the trap of, you know, just one more play, just one more scheme, just one more thing, and suddenly you're doing a lot of things and not doing them very well. And that's a tough one. You know, you got to kind of stay within and do what you do, do it to the best of your ability, especially so early in the season when just getting settled into your offensive defensive schemes with your new starters for that year.
Coach, you've been able to coordinate the defense in this game for a number of years now. What tips do you have for coordinators out there, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, in playing in a big game like this and putting together a game plan, especially this early in the season?
Well, I think the most important thing probably when you play a high caliber team is being prepared to make adjustments. No matter what kind of game plan you have going in, it could be the best game plan in the world. Your opponent is going to make some adjustments once they see what you're doing. It's so important that you're able to adjust on the run, whether it be something your game plan that just hasn't worked at all since you started the game, or it was working and now it's not because they've changed things. But I think the biggest key is probably being prepared to make those adjustments, those in-game adjustments.
Coach, when you're communicating with your team, and this obviously is your first opportunity as the head coach, they're going to be looking to you, especially in those moments before they roar down that tunnel. I know that you really don't have to say much, and probably whatever you might say would send them roaring through the door anyway because of the emotions of the game. But how do you handle that situation, the moments before, and what type of message do you want to deliver to your team in this type of game?
Having not been there yet, that's a really good question, right? I think more than anything, you know, regardless of the words you use, is just to emphasize their preparation. You know, they are prepared to go into the game and compete at a high level. They're going to have the confidence to do so as well. Probably just a few minutes before the game, it's not, especially a game like that, is not going to take much to get them going. But just to reemphasize that they're prepared to go out and compete and battle for a chance to win the game.
Coach, I was able to watch quite a few of years of highlights of this game, and it's just filled with big plays, and you've been coaching in it for a number of years. What's a play, a moment in a game that really stands out to you in the time that you've coached it?
Oh, wow. That would be really hard to pinpoint. You know, there are a couple of last-minute touchdowns to take the lead. There was one year where we went back and just back and forth, right to the wire. Collectively, rather than just one particular play, I think, is that the game's not over until that final buzzer, because it's been proven on both sides of the ball, both with Union and us, that neither team is ever out of it until that fourth quarter's over.
And that's what I was able to see in watching these games, is that it is a big back and forth
slugfest. I guess that's why they call it the backyard brawl. in that, especially maybe when you're coaching a team that's a little bit younger, how do you deal with those swings of the game, those roller coaster like moments throughout of it, where you're up, you're down, you're back in it, you're out of it, now you're back in it again?
Well, I would say that early in the year, especially, we haven't always handled those situations very well. You know, a young team, they do ride on their emotions a little more. What that game does do for us, though, even when they don't handle it well, is we can learn from that and understand we've got to weather the storm, so to speak, when things aren't going our way. It's a great environment to learn those things. We all know you learn from adversity better than anything. And regardless, there's always plenty of adversity in that game at some point.
You know, for a game that's week two, the learning for these guys starts again that following Monday. I'm sure that has to be a challenge. No matter how hard you try to keep this game in perspective, it's going to carry a lot of emotion with it. With that comes that, whether you're winning or losing the game, comes that little bit of emotional letdown that you have to really get back up pretty quick, because you play another game the next Friday. How do you handle that and, I guess, get your team refocused, regardless of the outcome, refocused on playing the game next week?
Yeah, that's a real challenge, because letdown is a bit of an understatement after coming off a game of that magnitude and that much excitement during the game. But ultimately, you know, coming out of that game, you're either one game away or you're moving into district play. That's kind of the real season at that point. You got to win those district games to position yourself for the playoffs. So it is a real challenge. You really got to focus in on your next opponent. We're very fortunate this year. I think we've got a bye week after we play Union. We'll have a little more time to get that corner turned, I guess, if you will. It's really focusing on the next task at hand and emphasizing and re-emphasizing. It doesn't happen with one team meeting, but you have to keep on it and keep on it and keep on it. Always be looking forward.
Coach, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners out there who may be in their first job as a head coach, playing in their first big rivalry game this year. And I know it's your first as a head coach, but you're certainly no stranger to this type of game. What advice do you have to those coaches who are in that situation for the first time?
I'm probably not the best guy to ask, since I haven't been there as a head coach. Keep it in perspective. Ultimately, I think our goal for all of us is to win the last game in those playoffs. And so, as bad as we want to beat our rivals, you know, our kids, you know, this is a big game for them. They want to win it. It certainly doesn't define our season. Just keep it in perspective. While it will be, I don't know, for me, it's impossible to enjoy the moment during the game, I think you will be able to look back on it with some enjoyment. It's just going out and competing in a game of that magnitude.
Coach, best of luck to you and the Trojans in the Backyard Bowl, and good luck after this, the rest of the season. I'm sure this may be a game you see again. I'm sure you'll learn from it. Like I said, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Keith. I appreciate it.
Coach Riggs is going up against a veteran in this game in Kirk Frederick. Coach, Kirk has been at Union a total of 10 years in 2 5-year stints. He's 117 and 18. Let's hear from Coach Frederick and his thoughts on this big rivalry.
Joining me on the podcast is the head football coach of Union High School, Coach Kirk Frederick. Coach, thanks for being on the podcast again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Coach, the Backyard Bowl series here is obviously something that's been big for you, your community. Talk to the guys on the other side as well. From your perspective, we'd love to hear, you know, what kinds of things happen in your community. I know with these big games, there's always some kind of pageantry around them. So first of all, what are some of the things and the events that, you know, you guys as a team are going to take part in outside of the game?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that has really made this game unique is that, you know, it is definitely something that is bigger than the game itself. You know, it pulls the two schools together, and you know, both schools have great support from their student body and in the communities. But, you know, even outside of guys that may be supporting Union or Jinx, you're going to get people that tune into this game or come watch this game just because they want to see a good football game. And so, we get that extra fan, regardless of their loyalties to their schools. But, you know, leading up to the game, one of the things that I think is kind of tells you how big it is that, you know, most schools will have an early season pep assembly, you know, to introduce the team. And if we're playing week three against Jinx in the Backyard Bowl, then that pep assembly is not going to take place until week three. You know, it's the beginning of the season, you know, for the casual student and the casual person in this area, it starts with who's going to win the Backyard Bowl. And that's kind of the preseason matchup. And then, you know, as a head coach, there's a lot of important games. I mean, this year we're playing Broken Arrow game one, which is going to be a huge game for us. And, you know, and then we have Mansfield, Lake Ridge out of Texas coming to our place. And so there's some big games there. But for the casual person, beginning of football begins with Union and Jinx.
Coach, when you look at the week, you know, leading up to the game, all the excitement around it, how do you work with your players to, you know, especially maybe those younger guys in that game for the first time, to not get caught up in the hype of the game and be able to stay focused on the job they need to do?
Well, you know, it's one of those things as an early coach, you worry about guys getting too much into this. And, you know, but being here now for 12 years and understanding the game, I think we have more trouble with our coaches. I think the kids understand what's getting ready to happen. They've grown up watching this game, and it's been a big deal, and they're excited to be a part of the game. But, you know, sometimes we get our coaches that are pretty amped up, especially some of those guys new to our staff and have not experienced it as much. But, you know, we put our kids in big game atmospheres. But for us, it's a lot of fun because so early in the season, you know, there's going to be lots of mistakes. And so we just explain to our kids, we want you to just lay it out there. We want to see what our team looks like after this game is over, because it prepares us so well for the season and for the playoffs later on. But, you know, that it, like I said, I think the expectation for our guys is they know they're going to make mistakes. There's going to be misalignments. There's going to be things that are not covered yet, you know, defensively or offensively, and that the other team's going to do. And so we tell our kids, just expect the unexpected and go with it, you know, and have fun with it, and don't be too pressured up by it.
Coach, over the course of the week, as the head coach, are there any kind of functions you need to attend or other things, I guess, are a little bit out of the norm for you?
You know, we have a tendency to get a little more media coverage, you know, during that week. Every year it's the usuals in the area, but then you'll get people, you'll get a phone call from a reporter out of Pennsylvania or California or someone who's decided to cover this game for that week. And so it kind of keeps it fresh for me, you know, as someone from the outside across the nation lets them know that people are watching. And we have a press conference that's held, you know, on Tuesday of that week. And we bring our team captains from both schools in, and we get a chance to visit with the press that week. So there's not, you know, in my experience, there's not too many press conferences that are held for games, you know, at the high school level. So that's kind of a big deal for our kids. And it's a neat atmosphere. You know, we've picked up for several years now, MidFirst Bank has been a sponsor of the game, and they give funds back to our schools to help within our community and from the academic standpoint. So that's a neat deal.
Coach, for you, this is your 12th Backyard Bowl. I'm sure every single one of them kind of has some special memories. For you, is it getting used to playing in that game, or is every single one of those kind of special to you every year?
You know, one of the things that I figured out over time is that it's always new for somebody, you know, and so that's what's fun for me. I had a couple of new guys on staff last year, and, you know, they've always heard about the Backyard Bowl, and to see their faces, you know, when we walk out of that locker room is really a joy for me, is to watch some of the guys on our staff and their experiences. And then, you know, I've got a son on this team now. He'll be a junior. He's been a ball boy. And so it's always a neat deal to have your own son, you know, have an opportunity to play in that type of game. And it's new every year just because of what it is. But sure, you grow to expect this game's going to come down to the wire. And if you're shocked that it's not tied up in the last 2 minutes, or it's somebody's driving down the field, then you hadn't watched too many of them.
Coach, as you look back at Backyard Bowls you've been in, what is one of those most memorable plays for you? You know, play that stands out that maybe was a turning point in the game or won a game?
You know, early on, My first one in 2007 will always stick in my mind. We were being covered by the NFL Network, and they did a documentary of the game. And, you know, I think it's shown in every classroom the day of the game up here. I think every teacher turns that show on for, you know, from elementary up the day of the game to watch that documentary. That first game was pretty neat. You know, went into overtime, and we blocked a field goal to win it in overtime. Kind of a neat experience, but the play that reminds me the most is we had defensive lineman, Stephen Ruppelhammer, who played at Iowa State, got a tip pass right before the half. Jinx was really, you know, ahead of us by about 14 or so at that time. And Stephen gets a block tip on a pass, a big 290-pound defensive lineman. He catches it and returns it for a touchdown, you know, about 40 yards right before the half. And it really just kind of switched that whole game around to where it came down and went into overtime for us.
Coach, when you look at a game like this, people always talk about the rivalry games. You throw out the records, and a lot of times that's true. Odd things happen in those games. For you in a game like this, what are some of the things that you need to focus on? And I guess the keys to winning a game that receives so much attention and gets everybody, you know, in the school and the community, the surrounding communities excited about it, to the point, you know, where, you know, you have to keep your focus. You have to make sure over that course of the week there's certain things you're going to focus on. And then I think you see the consistency in certain ways you have to approach that game as well. So for you, what are the key things that are going to help you win a big ball game like this?
Try not to go into the game with too much. It's probably one of the biggest things and mistakes that you make is, and when you're talking about the passion and the intensity of a rivalry game like this, adding too much to a kid, you know, trying to get him to double read something as a quarterback, you know, in this certain situation sometimes isn't the best thing, because he's, you know, in that pressure situation when there's that much going on, he's got to catch the snap. Now that sounds elementary, you know, if you do it thousands of times, but it's so true. You've got to have guys that understand not trying to do too many things coverage wise, because you're going to have four motions that come from James that have never happened before. And if you're trying to just do too much, you'll create confusion.
Coach, over the course of the practice week, you know, is it something that try to balance, I guess, guys being able to soak in the moment of being a part of something like this versus just keeping them so tightly focused on their job? How do you balance those kinds of things?
You know, we've had a chance to approach this game so many different ways. And for me, it's you know, the senior class, hey, this is our backyard bowl. This is for us this year. This is how we want to be remembered. You know, obviously it's early in the season and they're more important games as far as trying to win a championship after that game, but it's a big deal to them, you know, and then the junior class, you know, would look at it as, hey, you know, I was in this as a sophomore, but now it's my junior year. So it's always got a little something special, even if you've been in it three or four times as a player. And for us, it's, you don't have to worry about motivation or focus. And so, you know, we try to tell our staff, you know, quit worrying about saying, hey, this is Jinx week. I mean, that word's said probably 1,000 times, but try to keep them focused within the execution of our game, because the motivation part of it will take care of itself.
Coach, speaking of that motivation part, I know for those guys to be able to walk out into Tulsa Stadium, you know, they go in after warm-up. They're in the locker room. I'm sure you see the jitters, the excitement. What's your message to those guys or in general? I know it's going to be a little bit different every year, but the things you want to say to them that you want them going out that door, down that tunnel, with those ideas in their head?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us, and I think it's been somewhat of a turning point for us as a program when you look over the last 20 years, is the respect that you have for that opponent. And that's one of those things that I think is really neat about our rivalries. We know those guys are getting up early in the summer and working out just like we are. We know they've gone through a week of preparation. We have a lot of respect for that program and those coaches and what they do. And, you know, so for us to have in our head that, you know, hey, we deserve this, there's nothing further from the truth. I mean, we both deserve it. Somebody's going to win it. Somebody's going to lose it. So, you know, for us, we want to approach the game with a lot of respect for our opponent, a lot of respect for the game, and to be a champion. We expect our players to play like champions, and sometimes champions, things don't work out right. It's how they respond to that situation that really determines who they are. And, you know, so for us, we obviously recognize that it's the biggest game in the country, I believe, you know, especially on that week. People all over the country, you'll have guys that have played for me that are listening to it, streaming on a Navy ship somewhere, defending our country. You know, I've gotten emails from people from every possible situation trying to tune in and listen to this game or watch this game. And so it's definitely bigger than the moment, and we want to represent our school well.
Coach, at the end of that Friday night, the game's over. Guys are hopefully going to enjoy it and, you know, have the weekend to enjoy it. But there's next week. In games like these, a lot of emotion is spent in that week leading up to it. Win or lose, how do you rally your team to really be able to get back into things and get into the flow of, hey, we got to play another game here in week four?
Yeah, there's always let down. You know, I think to try to fight against that, you're just climbing uphill. There's always going to be a let down. The energy the next week in that game, it's just not there. It's a great game, but it's not at that level. And, you know, when you play a game, one of the things I think that separates the Backyard Bowl from other games is every single play is celebrated. I mean, the student section will go nuts if you gain 3 yards on a play, you know, and they'll go nuts if they stop you on that play. I mean, it's not just touchdowns that are celebrated in that game. And so the emotional exhaustion you have at the end of the game is very high. But again, for us, I think the thing is just the philosophy we have is we want to be ready for week 11. Week 11 in Oklahoma is when the playoffs start, and we take that into every season, whether we're 0-3 or 3-0 heading into district. Our goal is still the same, is to be the best team we can in week 11. And I think that helps us come out of that game, win or lose, with the right mindset heading into the rest of the season.
Coach, for you in a big game like this, and they get bigger as the season goes on. They get bigger in week 11 for sure. But those big games like this, what do you really feel is the thing that gives your team the winning edge?
Well, you know, for us is, again, trying to have that focus of prioritizing how important this game is. We want this game. We don't want to steal the spirit of this game for our kids. You know, it's we want them to be a high school student and enjoy, I mean, walking down the class, you know, down the hallways on the day of the game and being a part of the student body is a neat deal. We don't want them to lose that. I think letting them be high school kids, enjoy this moment, because it's one they're going to remember for a long time. And if I try to put too much into it for them, the intensity of it, you'll have a tendency as a coach to make the game more about the win or the loss, you know, more important than the kid being a high school kid. They're 17 years old, and everybody wants to remember their glory days, not some coach chewing them out because they busted on a coverage.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time here. Best of luck in the Backyard Bowl, and appreciate you and all the things you've done for USA football as well.
Thank you very much.
There you have it. Two great coaches on one of the biggest rivalries in the country. They're excited to kick it off this week in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You can find the links to the live feed to the game on our show notes. Check out our new website, footballdevelopment.com, focused on performance. In there, you will find the tip of the spear contact system, our new answer for eliminating head contact from blocking and defeating blocks. Check out our new Twitter at FBDEVCoach.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.